title of this message is The Poor Man's Cry. And if you'd open your Bibles and turn with me to chapter 34, verse 4. We'll get it straight. Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried. This was David, but it can also be said of Christ. Christ was poor. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Poor man. David's prayer was not intended for men, nor was it meant mainly to relieve his own mind. It was intended for the ear of God. In this prayer, David is seeking, and he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me seeking him. He heard me calling after him in the dark. He heard me running up and down that I might find him. To search after the Lord is prayer, such as God hears. Then David said, they looked unto him. In verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto him. And who were they? They're all the people of God. It is the whole company of saints in heaven and saints on the earth. It can be said of all of them and all of us. They looked to him and were lightened. As their life in a look, there's life in a look, and there's light in a look. All of us can look to Christ, can't we? They looked unto him and were lightened. Now, looking unto God is often one of the very best prayers. It is a look which says, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. Be, O Lord, pleased to show thyself unto me. If there's life in a look, there's also breath of life in that look. And prayer is that breath. If we cannot find words, it is often a very blessed thing to just sit still and look towards the hill whence our help cometh. I sometimes feel that I cannot express my desires. Do you feel that way? And at other times, I do not know my own desires, except that I long for God. I long for him. In such a case, we must sit still and look up. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, O God. I will look up. A look is a choice prayer. It is a look of a tearful eye towards my wonderful Savior. Then we can describe prayer in verse 8, where it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. When we come boldly to that throne of grace, we have a taste of grace, don't we? In the act of coming. We cannot know his goodness without a taste, can we? We got to taste it. Oh, taste and see. Partake of it. Become practically acquainted with it. We must trust God ourselves. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For blessed is the man that trusteth in him, it says. The Lord is good. You can only know this by personal experience for yourself. It's the only way. It says, taste and see. And also, faith is the soul's taste. You ever thought about that? A taste is only a brief introduction. Just taste it, is all God says. Just taste it. It also begins with the taste of the Word of God. And then we grow and continue in His grace. It's only going to be by the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. The taste leads to so much more, even greater things. Notice this poor man did not make a grand announcement either. He just took to crying. It was only a cry. In great pain, a man will cry out. He cannot help it, even if he could. This poor man cried, God, be merciful to me. What a meaning in a few words. Lord, remember me. Remember me. A cry is not only a brief thing, but it's a bitter thing. A cry is a sorrowful thing. A cry is not artificial. It is not from the lips, but from the heart and the soul that a man cries. A cry is attended with a flood of tears and a bitter wail. These are the prayers that enter into the hearts, in the heart of the Lord Himself. Now, I'm not just saying that you have to cry in order to pray, but it's the heart attitude. It's the attitude of the heart. What is our attitude when we come to the Lord? You cannot set a cry to music either, can you? The sound of a cry grates the ear, doesn't it? It rasps the heart. It grieves the mind of those who hear it. Cries are not for musicians, but for mourners. If prayer be a cry, it is clear it is one that is a simple act of the mind. Dear saints, whatever we need, pray for it in whatever way which our awakened heart suggests. God loves when we come before Him, doesn't He? Especially with that which is on fire. He loves that. Not that which is dressed up, but that which leaps out of the soul just as it is born in the heart. He delights to receive such prayer from the heart. This poor man did not do anything grand, but from his soul he cried. And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. He was all alone, so that nobody else heard him, only the Lord heard him. Yes, the Lord, all gracious, He bowed His ear to him. Now God's ear hears the songs of angels continually resounding. He hears all the voices of all the creatures that He's made. Think about that. Yet He stooped from His eternal glory and gave attention to this poor man's cry, and He'll do it for us. God does hear prayer. He grants the desires and the requests of lowly men and women. Do you know we can never pray in earnest unless we believe that God hears us? We got to believe that He's going to hear us. The Lord never ceases to listen to the cry of those who seek His face. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them. This is truly marvelous. Think about it. This is our faith, for it is written in His word and experienced in our own lives. There is one of God's special titles that I love. He's the God that heareth prayer. I can cry to Him, and I know He hears me. The Lord will hear our prayer, even if we cannot put it into words. Do you know that? He has an ear for thoughts and sighs and longings. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. God help. It's a good one. A wordless prayer is not silent to him. God reads the intents of the heart and cares for those from an earnest heart, especially even more than for the words from our lips. It seems that this poor man could not speak, but he cried. His heart was so full that he could only cry, but God heard him. This kind of a heartful prayer wins answers from God. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Think of that. When God is about to bestow a blessing, doesn't God move us to pray? We pray and God hears and he answers. This is a process of divine grace. What richness and great grace is revealed in this statement. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In 1 Samuel 21, David was so poor that he had to beg bread for the Lord's priests. This is where this psalm is said to come from, or written from. Then though he was a soldier, then he also had to borrow a sword from the treasures. He had no house, no home, no income, no country. There was no place safe for him. Isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked this earth? And yet he gave his life for us. He was poor indeed when he wrote these words. This poor man cried. We should not only imagine that poverty would damage our prayer. It won't damage our prayer. Does the Lord care about the age of our coat or where we have a shallow pocket or our cupboard may be scarce? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But this poor man cried. Does God hear poor men? Oh, yes, he does. The poorest of the poor, the poor in spirit. He hears those who are so poor that even hope is so dim that we fear for natural existence. This poor man was also a troubled man, it says. He did not know what to do in his blizzard of trials. Are you there? He was surrounded with difficulties. Because he was a troubled man, he cried. Maybe we wonder what he cried about, but no one knows your inward grief, nor did they know his. His old companions, maybe they thought he had gone out of his mind. Maybe they said religion had turned his brain a different direction. This poor man cried, and no one noticed him because he was so poor and so wretched. But the Lord heard him, and he hears you. The Lord does not turn away from his cry, nor will he turn away from ours. The Lord takes delight in coming to us and binding up our wounds. The Lord so heard him as to make this poor man rich in grace. David was also a hopeful man. There must have been some hope in him, though he could not perceive it. People do not cry for help unless they have some hope that they'll be heard. Where there is a cry of prayer, there's a crumb of hope. Oh, the richness of divine grace. That God should hear us, nobodies. And that God should look upon those who are less than the least of all saints. Even the Apostle Paul said, I'm the very chief of sinners. Yet Paul saw the richness of divine grace by the help of the Holy Spirit. He who prayed was poor, but did he pray to a poor God? No. This poor man was powerless, but he did not cry to a feeble God. This poor man was empty, but he went to God's fullness. He was unworthy, but he appealed to God's mercy. Our God delights in mercy. He waits to be gracious. He takes pleasure in blessing the weary sons of men. This poor man cried to the Savior, who's able to save to the uttermost. Remember, we cannot draw water out of our own emptiness. We must come to God, who is a fountain of all divine grace. Our merit may not be worth much, but the mercies of God are unsearchable riches. Divine grace is akin to mercy, and divine grace is a power. We have that power. This is how David viewed divine grace. Grace is the power that David found to overcome the condition he was in. James wrote in James 4, 6, he said, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." The word wherefore means because he giveth more grace. God resists the proud. This is the power of divine grace. It is the answer here for a separated and a righteous life before God. He giveth more grace. The humble is the person who recognizes his need of God. That's who the humble is. David was poor, but spiritually he was rich because he was humble. He recognized his need of God. He recognized that he needed some kind of power or energy in order to overcome his own condition. He recognized that he could lay hold of God when he was almost overcome by all those fears. He knew God gives more grace to the humble. David acknowledged and recognized he needed that power of divine grace in his own life. I believe that is what this Psalm 34 tells us. And I believe the Apostle Paul tells us the same thing. Therefore, David cried with great hope and believed that God, with his divine grace, as well as his power, his wisdom, would do the work in him and for him. And he'll do the same for us. He will grow us up into him in all things if we let him. Notice the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He gave him salvation from all his troubles. Get this. I believe his sins were his greatest troubles. His sins. You talk about sins, that guy had a boatload of sins. Is that us? Was that us? At a time it was. The Lord saved him, and he'll save us out of all of them through the atoning sacrifice of his dear son. The effects of sin were some of David's most grievous troubles. The Lord saved him out of all of them by dying on the cross. David had fallen into perilous positions by his own fault. For him, out of all of them, God saved him out of them and led him to peace. He had troubles without, troubles within, in the family, in the world. He felt ready to perish because of them, but the Lord delivered him out of all of them. Note the word, all. It's a large and comprehensive thing. All. We read in verse 4, he delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes fears are more painful than our troubles. You ever notice that? You fear trouble, and then the trouble comes and you get through it. And you figure, wow, what did I fear so much? We suffer more in dreading troubles than enduring them, don't we? But the Lord removes such fears. We see that all shame was removed in the same way. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They were happy because the shame of their sin is gone. They were no longer distressed about the past, no longer under fear of wrath from the future. The Lord saves them and saves us out of all of our fears. They that wait upon the Lord shall not want any good thing either. Oh, to be saved from all fear and all shame and all trouble, and then from all want. But this is not all. For this poor man was saved from all danger. In verse 20, we didn't read that. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. How complete is God? How complete is God's deliverance? Now, I know that's spoken of Jesus Christ himself. But David said it. Think of the men down through the ages, how wonderfully God has heard theirs and even our prayers. There was once a man, Jonah, in the belly of the fish, miraculously kept alive. Jonah cried, "The weeds were wrapped around my head." He was in a strange, dark, horrible place, and he says of it, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." There's a man that cried. Was his cry of any use? We read, yes, he was. "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. My prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." Jonah. We could go through so many others in Scripture that did the same thing. But I want to refer to Psalm 23 before I run out of time. Psalm 23 is very interesting. David knew that one, knew the one present with him was the Lord as my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He ain't yours. He's mine. You have to get that. He's mine. We've been hearing that today. My shepherd. In the first three verses of this Psalm 23, all the pronouns refer to the Lord in the third person. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restores my soul. But in the last three verses, David changes it to the second person. You are with me. For thou art with me, thy rod, your rod, not his rod, and thy staff, your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You prepare a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. You anoint my head. Why the variation in tenses? There's something inexpressibly blessed in that change. You see, during the life of a believer, it speaks of the Lord as he leads me, and so forth. But as we enter the valley of the shadow of death, we speak of the Lord, for he is here by my side. God's word is so... You fill it in. How can we explain it? How we need to weigh and ponder every jot and tittle in it. Sometimes a tense of the verb and other times a number of the noun marks that which is most important for us to observe. Here the change of the pronouns brings out such a precious line of truth and growth of the believer's walk with the Lord. David acknowledged the presence of the good shepherd in the valley, in the comfort from his gracious care. David went on to say, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In Scripture, the table always speaks of fellowship, and that of the most intimate kind. What loving and full provision he has made to supply our every need, his grace. I've also pondered Luke 22:21. It says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Can you imagine that maybe Jesus cried over that one man? Oh, what grief that brings to my heart. Judas did that. But Jesus is my shepherd. How glorious is Christ when he comes forth with his eternal power to fight the lion who would rend our soul. Think of him in heaven today pleading for his people, pleading the merits of his blood in intercession as he smites the wolf and chases away the lion and the bear, that not one of us may be destroyed or even touched. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do we do that? How are we going to do this? Paul said in Acts 20, 32, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." It's going to take the grace of God to build us. The word of his grace is the only thing that is able to build us up. What we lay hold on the word of God today, of his grace now, is to the degree of our inheritance. We must lay hold of it now. Peter says, We're building a spiritual house. In 1 Peter, he says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." How do we build a spiritual house? How do we build it? 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid is Jesus Christ. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." We build on the foundation of Christ by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Jude says, "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying for the revelation of truth and the purposes of Christ that would be in my life through the word of God. Peter says also to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There's only one sacrifice that God is interested in, and that is the sacrifice of Christ. This is what he wants from us who are willing to give ourselves to God's purposes exactly as Jesus did. We must be built up by the word of his grace. You take the word of God, you build a spiritual house on the foundation, which is Christ. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, I leave you with this. Wherever we may be, whatsoever trial we may be involved in today, The Lord hears our cry, and he will come to help. If any soul here is like Jonah in the very belly of hell in feelings and fear, yet your cry will prevail with heaven, and the Lord hears your cry. He wants us to grow in grace and in truth. It'll take the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to get more grace, to have more grace, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that intimate fellowship with him, to have that banqueting table set before us. He's already done that. We just need to take it. He wants to grow us in grace and truth. A poor man's cry will sound through to the heaven, to the throne room of divine grace where Christ sits and waits for us. And the sweetness of that cry will come to the ear of God, and he will respond to it. For that is the richness of his divine grace. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. God bless you, dear friends, for Christ's sake. Amen.